Just kidding, okay? Just kidding, folks. Don't get the chip off your shoulder. I'm just kidding. But I do want to talk about one verse this morning in the book of Romans. Now, this is a very, 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 very quoted scripture. And it's a very well-known, and you know it, and probably don't even need to read it. But Romans chapter 8 and 28. Now, if you really want to get all the context, you know I tell you, you got to read the whole chapter. But I'm going to give you a principle here out of this. And I think this sums it up. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, I'm not going to get too deep with that. But I want to tell you this, that all things are not going to work together for you if there's two things missing. Number one, if you don't love God. And you say, I do love God. Well, how do you love God? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Follow me. If you love me, pick up your cross and follow me. If you love me, do what I tell you to do. So it's very easy to spout off and say, I love God. And I've seen them on TV after a catastrophe or something and say, I know all things are going to work together for the good. And all things are for a reason. Let me say, all things are not for a reason. That's not what this scripture says, okay? But I know. And then just blat out some bad words. I'm thinking, I don't think they quite get what it's saying there, because you got to love God with all your heart. And to them that are called according to his purpose. Who are the called according to his purpose? Those who are saved. Those that are born again. So it doesn't work for everybody. You may be seated. It doesn't work for everybody. It only works for those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. What's his purpose? His purpose is the salvation of the nations. His purpose is being born again. Of reaching the world with the gospel. And whether that world is the next door neighbor, or across the street, or in your city, in your town, or in your state, or worldwide, maybe in Africa, or maybe in Russia, I want you to know your mission field is in front of you every day. Every person you run into that you know or you don't know, they're all heading somewhere for eternity. Okay, now I just want to get that straight. Now I want to talk to you that this is talking to, okay? And that is to the Christian. To those that know the Lord, to those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, I want to let you know all things will work together for the good. Now it doesn't say everything is good, because I got a lot of bad things happen to me in life. It's just that way. You can't escape it. There's no way around it. You can go to a desert island with nothing but coconuts and monkeys, and I promise you, you're still going to have your bad days. You're still going to have your troubles. You're still going to have situations and loneliness and all the things that we face in life. And some of you are facing things, and some at different levels, and everybody's going through something in life. Some of you are trying to pull along your family. Some of you are trying to nurse your children. Some of you are trying to help those around you. Everybody's got problems. But thank God all things work together for the good. What's that? It gives us faith. It gives us a faith and an optimistic faith, because really, faith is optimistic. It's optimistic. Pessimism is the opposite of optimism. Let me give you a little lesson here. Pessimism is saying, well, I tried it before, didn't work, not going to try it again. That's pessimism. Optimism is, I tried it before, it didn't work, but it probably will work next time. And then you got an Edison that tried 1,000 times to make the light bulb, but thank God he didn't give up. Somebody say amen. So I'm saying The faith that God gives us an optimism to believe that all things are going to be better in a little while. And it doesn't matter what I'm going through, and it doesn't matter what I'm in, and it doesn't matter what trash or trouble or problem or mess I'm in. Thank God, I believe there's a miracle in every mess. I know that all things are going to work together for my good. I don't care how bad it gets, and brother, it has got bad in my life. And thank God, I know that there's one that's working behind the scenes. And that's the thing. You can't see it, but he's working on your behalf. He's working in your life. And what you think is just something that has come along that is random, that doesn't mean anything, and it's bad, God says, I'll make that into something good. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. Somebody say amen. I don't know how he made black cows to eat green grass and give white milk, but they do. And they give yellow butter, and they do. You see, sickness is a given if you're a Christian. I know. That we have been taught some kind of mystic gospel that says when you get saved, God gives you an automatic plan. It's called a maintenance plan for your body. So don't worry. If you get sick, just pray and God will heal you. And if God doesn't heal you, it means you didn't have enough faith. Let me tell you something. You can have all the faith in the world, but if God wants you to go through something, he's going to let you go through it, okay? Just get that down real big and bold today. The sovereignty of God has been taken out of that. God is sovereign, and he has purposes and plans for all of our lives that we know not of. And so to think that every time I get sick, God's just going to automatically heal me is a mistaken notion, and it just doesn't happen. Everybody say amen. It just doesn't happen. And all these guys that are preaching it, it doesn't happen. And when are we going to wake up and say, wait a minute, it's not happening? So let's go back to the Word of God, and let's find out what true theology is. And true theology, sometimes you're shipwrecked, and sometimes you're beat with rods, and sometimes you're left for dead, and sometimes you're stoned, and sometimes you've got problems beyond problems. But all things in a little while we'll work together for my good, because I love God. I'm called according to his purpose. Yeah, sickness is a given. Tough times are a given. Tragedies are a given. Death is a given. But it all works out. Amen. How can you lose? What was that preacher used years ago? You can't lose with the stuff I use. Y'all remember him? That was I forget his name. Reverend Ike, guess who it was. Reverend Ike, you can't lose with the stuff I use. I got news for you and Reverend Ike. What he uses, I don't know, but I know what I use is the Word of God. And my life is built on the Word of God. And if you don't build it on the Word of God, you don't understand when things come in that your theology's tested. And if you build your theology out of your experience, or you build your theology out of the theology of men, your house will crumble every time. When things don't happen like you thought they were, I want you to know you'll give up. But if you'll build your life on the Word of God, it's the rock of salvation, the rock of truth. The Bible said when the rains come, the rains descend, and the floods came, he said those who were built on the rock, they stood. What was the rock? It was the words of this book. It is the Word of God. And if you stand on this book, thank God, you may tremble on the rock, but the rock will never tremble under you. Amen. Oh, y'all happy bunch this morning. That's all right. One ship drives east, another drives west. With the same self-same winds they blow, 'tis the set of the sails and not the gales which tell us the way to go. Like the winds of the sea are the ways of fate as we voyage along through life. 'Tis the set of the soul that decides its goal, and not the calm or the strife. The set of the soul, the faith, the optimistic faith that God's going to work it all out. You see, suppose that there was two people that, you know, they had they were entirely different. And one was happy, and one had good times, and things were going good for them. And the other was not so happy. They were embittered, and they have some good times and bad times. Both of them had good times and bad times, let me put it that way. But one's happy, one's joyful, one comes to church, one lifts their hands and worships God. But the other one gets bitter, stays home, just closes the window, the door, the drapes, and says, I'm just going to give up. You say, well, it's just because of the circumstances. circumstances in their lives? What if I were to tell you that they had the same circumstances? Everyone has different circumstances, but when it's all said and done, we all have similar circumstances. Everybody's lost a loved one. Everybody's had sickness. Everybody's had tragedy in their life. Everybody's had trouble in life. And so it's not the wind or the gale. It's the set of the soul. It's how you view God. It's how you build your theology. Your circumstance should not determine your outcome. You see, many times that's what it happens. Our circumstance, it dictates to us and determines our outcome. Have you ever believed something in your life and then, you know, you really believed it. You really, really believed it. You thought this is true. And then something came along and showed you the truth. And when the truth was explained to you from a different perspective, then you understood that you were wrong. But before that, nothing could change your mind. Now, there's some people you can show them the truth and they won't change their mind because they're ideologues. What's that mean? That just means they've got an ideology that they think is it and nothing's going to change their mind. Amen. But I'm talking about you folk here, okay? You simple-minded. I mean, you good folk. Just trying to keep your attention, really. Takes one to know one, okay? Amen. Birds of a feather flock together. Praise God. If I call you crazy, I'm just as crazy or crazier. Praise God. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. I've thought things before that I thought, man, I know this is right. I know this is true. And man, I'd have fought you for it. And then I got a different perspective on it. And I said, well, you know what? I was wrong about that. Now, few of us ever say we're wrong. But perspective came along. That's what all things are saying. You may think that everything in your life that is bad right now is for your bad, but I'm telling you, it's for your good. Somehow, someway, God has the power, God has the ability, God has the supernaturalness to change whatever's bad in your life and turn it around for the good. Now, maybe not in this life. And I want to get that real settled right now. You know, it's not everything's not about this life. It's not about your best life now. It's about your best life when you get to eternity, all right? If this is your best life now, you're going to hell. Somebody say amen. But if you know that your best life is after a while, after a while, it's going to be better. After a while, I'm going to get a new body. You talk about getting healed. I'm going to get healed one day. I'm going to get healed of these eyes, thank God, because I can't even see y'all because my eyes are going dim on me, okay? Not dim, but blurry, all right? Let me put it that way. I mean, I wish I had better sight, but I don't. But one day I'm going to get my 20/20s back, all right? One day I'm going to get my body back like it was when I was younger, all right? And all of us are. But so what I'm saying is your best life is not now, but your best life is to come. And all things may not work together right now, but when you step through that curtain and you look back at your life, you're going to say, thank God I can see how it all worked together. I know God was in charge. If I could have just believed him down there. Amen. Had it explained to you a little differently. God's going to explain a few things to us differently. Why'd you let this happen to me, God? God's still going to say, let me show you something. Let me tell you something. You'll say, wow. I should have kept my mouth shut, Lord. He's going to say, I tried to tell you that. Amen. You heard about that guy? He thought he was all that in the dip. I know I say it all the time. I'm trying to come up with something different, okay? He's all that bag of zesty Cheetos. He thought he was that. Okay, ranch-style Doritos. Okay. But he thought he was. So he went with his friend to the movies. A big, long line. And he said, man, the guy came with him and said, man, we got to wait in this big long line. He said, no, we don't have to wait in this line. I'll show you something. He pushed front everybody, pushed the guy out of the way and said, give me 2 tickets to the movie. He got 2 tickets. He looked at him and said, I never wait to the back of the line. So they decided they're going to go to the race car that night. See, the race car's another night. And so sure enough, it's a big long line of people. And so he says, looked at his buddy, said, listen, you know, I told you before, I never wait at the back of the line. Let me show you something here. And so he just walked up there and cut the guy out of the line, said, give me two tickets, we're going in. Gave him two tickets, they went in. I never go to the back of the line. So I decide one day they're going to go see a play down at the little theater. Big long line, people. Friends with him. He never waits at the back of the line. We're going to get tickets. He said, yeah, that's right. I never wait at the back of the line. I go to the front. So we went up to the front. He butted a guy out of the way. I said, give me two tickets. That guy that butted out of the way grabbed him by the nape of the neck, slapped him around, hit him a couple times, and threw him by his britches and his collar right out into the street. Guy got up, staggering around. Told his friend, come here. So what are you doing? I said, we're going to get in the back of the line. He said, I thought you said you never got in the back of the line. He said, be honest with you, I never had it explained to me quite like that. See, sometimes we never had it explained to us quite like that. And once it is, well, we get a different perspective. And you know, life changes our perspective. How many still believe? Let me see, I think all the kids are in there. How many still believe in Santa Claus? Whoa, Kevin. Sorry, Kevin, I just destroyed his faith. How many believe in the Easter Bunny? How many believe in Bigfoot? Oh, well. You know, I used to live down there with a... You ever heard of the Boggy Creek Monster? I used to live down there where the Boggy Creek Monster supposedly lived, and I had a friend of mine that went to another church, and he told me, he said, I believe in the Boggy Creek Monster. I lived right there in Falk, Arkansas. I said, I believe in the Boggy Creek Monster. He said, because I'm married to her. Amen. Glory to God. But the fact is, these things, we may have believed them at one time, but as we grow older, what happens? Life changes our perspective. Somebody says this, from birth to 18, a girl needs good parents. From 18 to 35, she needs good looks. From 35 to 55, she needs a good personality. And from 55 on, she needs cash. Amen. You see, the devil works to change your perspective. That's what his job is. Your perspective about what? He wants to change your perspective about God. Number one, is that not what he did in the garden in the beginning? He said, oh, now God has not really said that, did he? He's not going to really do that. He just knows something you don't know, and you're going to know if you... You see, he's trying to change the perspective. That's what he's trying to do all the time. He's trying to do it through the television. He's trying to do it through advertisement. He's trying to do it through all of the things that you hear and you take in every day on your computer. He's all the time trying to change your perspective. You say, but we got to go to work and we got to look at the computers. That's right. But you ought to stay in this Word of God, because if you look at that more than you look at this, after a while you'll start having doubts. And sometimes you'll be like the Adam and Eve, and you'll think it's a good thing, but it's not a good thing because God said it was a bad thing. You got to build your life on the Word of God, because Satan is trying to change your perspective about God. Get sick, God don't love you no more. He's trying to change it. Let me tell you something. If I'm sick and I die sick, God still loves me. Hello? If I drop over with a heart attack, God forbid. It's the big one, Elizabeth. Then I died with a heart attack, but God loved me every beat of my heart, and then I just step out of this body and get a brand new one, and then I'm going to say, I know, I should have had a heart attack a long time ago. God, if you'd only told me, I would have left a long time ago. But it wasn't in his plan. What am I saying? I'm just saying, it doesn't matter what's in my life or your life, God still loves you.
Well, you know, if God really loved me, my kids wouldn't be acting like a bunch of fools.
That's your kids' problem. That ain't God's problem. Hello? And want to blame everything on God. One lady one night tried to, some of you guys were here, she tried to slip in the back door, slip in the back, Jack. Hiding in the darkness. Long story short, we found her. And the reason we found her, because her husband was out in the parking lot. That's kind of a dumb move. I think we broke up a little early. They weren't expecting us to come. Either he sent her in to look for something while we were, you wonder why we locked the doors? I'm telling you why. That's why right there. And she was trying to probably look for something. Or she was going to wait in there and wait till everybody left. And then the husband was going to come back and open the door. Or she was going to open the door for him. And they were going to try to clean us out. Okay, that's the bottom line. But I want you to know something. She said to me, as we finally found her, caught her, had her out in the parking lot, got the police here. And I just told her real straight up. I told her they were liars. And I told them they were thieves. You say, you tell people like that? Yes, sir. I call them as I see them, all right? I just tell the truth. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't soft soap it because that's exactly they're trying to steal out of God's house. And we could have pressed charges. We could have did a lot of that. I just said, let them go. But I told them, don't you ever come back here. And you know what that lady, first of all, she said she didn't even believe in God, all right? I don't even believe in God. And then she turned it all around. She said, that's why I don't go to church. She said, you Christians are so mean. And God doesn't. And I said, wait a minute, ma'am. That's not anything about God, all right? Take God out of the equation. You're a thief, and you know you are, and that's why you came in here. What are you saying? I'm saying if you want to, you can blame any and everything on God. You can blame all your problems. You can blame all of the situation. I didn't get the right situations in life. I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. I don't have the good looks that my pastor has. I don't have... Just kidding. I don't have a lot of money. You can go from here to eternity, to infinity and beyond. And I want you to know all of that is nothing. It's baloney. You are what you are by the grace of God. And one of these great getting up mornings, he's going to change all the economic status of us all. And we're all going to be good looking. And we're all going to be rich. We're heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And everything he owns, I own, if I'll just be faithful to God and keep my perspective right. All things are going to work together for my good. Really are. Yes, they are going to work. Now, God sent his word. He sent his word. Why did he send his word to us? He sent his word so we could keep the right perspective. This book is going to keep you. It's going to keep you. It's going to keep you going right. Keep you going straight. Keep you going in the right direction. Keep understanding what's going on in your life. Not some flimsy theology that says, you know, God is just an Easter egg bunny that gives out free Easter eggs. And when you ask him, or Santa Claus, he's coming to town. You're going to find out who's naughty or nice. And if you'll have faith, God will give you everything. Yeah, you get everything, but you don't get it now, man. You don't get it now. When a mother or father dies and they've got a lot of money, they leave it to their children. But, you know, if they're young enough, they don't give it to them when they're 6 years old. Why? Because they'd go out and buy, you know, $1 million worth of Barbie dolls, you know? Or $1 million worth of Hot Wheels. It's when they get to a certain age, they put up the trust. And then when they get the trust, it means when they trust them. See what I'm saying? I don't know if that meant that. I just coined it, okay? That was a revelation. You know, for the one of them preachers, a revelation from God. No, it wasn't. It was just common sense. That comes a time. It's a trust. I know what a trust means, but I'm saying I'm just kind of being humorous. But that's when they really do trust you. When you get to that certain age, that's when they trust you. And you know what? Certain things you're not going to get. All these things that you think you're going to get, you know, because I'm a Christian and I'm royal blood. I got royal blood in me. I shouldn't be wearing, you know, Walmart. I should be wearing Armani, okay? Well, let me tell you something. You can wear Armani. If you want to, if you can afford it, wear it, man. But don't go through life wearing Walmart clothes saying, I wish I had that. I wish I had that. Because one of these days, you're going to get garments you can't even imagine. Armani's going to look like trash, okay? Armani's going to look like something out of the Goodwill, if you please. But I want you to know you're going to get a brand new body, a brand new arrangement for your soul. And when you get that, it will be worth it all. Amen. Perspective. I don't know where I was at. He gave us his word to give us perspective. See. Remember David and Goliath? Sure you do. I'm not going to tell you the story. I don't have time. But you know, everybody else was scared. Everybody else was afraid. Everybody else. They were very pessimistic. Pessimistic. You Okies say pessimistic. It's not pessimistic. It's pessimistic. Thank you, Brother Jane. He straightened me out on that a long time ago, and I've learned my lesson. I got a different perspective. So everybody was pessimist. They were pessimists. We can't do it. Look how big it is. It's so ugly. It's too big. It's too big. Oh, my God.
What are we going to do?
David said, I'll go fight him. Man, you can't fight nobody. Look at you. You ain't nobody. You're just a little kid, a little ruddy kid, man. I may be a ruddy kid, but I serve a great big God. See, while they were looking at the giant, David was looking at God. And when you look at God, it puts the giant in a different perspective. Because when you compare the giant to yourself, oh yeah, it's giant. He's a giant, and he's a big dude, and he's a bad dude. He's badder than Leroy Brown. I mean, he is a bad motor scooter, if you please. But that's when you're just looking at him. But when you start looking at God and seeing God, and you know God, all of a sudden that giant ain't so big. He said, wait a minute, I fought a lion, he wasn't so tough, and I fought a bear, and he wasn't so tough, and I know this uncircumcised Philistine ain't so tough because he ain't met God yet, okay? Let's wait till he meets God. Well, let's put our armor on you. They try to put the armor on David. Say, I can't fight with this stuff, man. I can't fight. This is not how it's going to work. Let me tell you how it's going to work. I'm going to use what I know to use, and I'm going to preach the gospel, amen. I don't know anything else to do but what I know to do, and that's to sling these little stones every Sunday morning, okay? And he went down and picked him up, five smooth stones. You know the rest of the story. He let it loose, hit him right between the eyes, and the rest is history. How come? Because David saw things in a different perspective. Why did he see the giant little and God big? Because he saw through eyes of faith, and he saw through eyes of optimism. You see, a lot of us, that's all we see is through eyes of pessimism. Well, I'm getting old. I'm going to die. Well, praise be unto God, you're going to be changed when you die, all right? Does it get any better than that? I'm not wanting you to die today, but I'm just telling you, if you do, you're going to be changed. Amen. And so it doesn't get any better than that. So everything that comes against me is going to work for my good. Amen. Perspective. There was a new member of the British Parliament took his 8-year-old daughter on a brief tour through his beloved London. As he was taking her through, he brought her to that Gothic church building, Westminster Abbey. And she, looking around, was in awe, amazed, mesmerized. And her father, realizing that she was enthralled by all of this, was very, very excited. Because she saw the significance of it. And he said, baby, honey, what are you thinking about? She said, I'll tell you what I'm thinking about, Daddy. I was thinking how big you seem at home and how small you look in here. See, when life's problems seem so big, and they seem so big and gigantic and ginormic, and there's other words they use nowadays that I don't know of. When they get so big, you know what? You need to go to God's house. When you go to God's house, the problem may seem big at home, but when you get to God's house, it doesn't seem so big. It seems a lot smaller in God's house. Amen. Somebody say amen. Been lots of times I just struggled to get in here, and I couldn't hardly, you know, just barely make it, and just struggle, and everything seemed like it was overcoming me, and it was swallowing me up. But when I got to God's house, something happened. When the man of God got up and opened the word and said, thus saith the word of God, and began to preach that word of God, something lit in my soul, and all of a sudden my faith began to grow and get big, and the things that looked so big at home didn't look so big at the house of God. Why? Because I see God in the church. I hear God's word in the church. I see what God is doing in the church, and I thank God for what God said in his word. Somebody say amen. See, it changes perspective. Life changes when you get in God's house. Give me a scripture. Look at this scripture here. Very familiar, I'm sure, to all of us. But this guy was bewildered. This guy was just, is it there? I gave him the wrong one a minute ago. I don't know. Yeah, it's okay. Why does snow? Okay, there it is. Psalm 73, 14 through 15. For all the day long have I been plagued. Man, you been there? And chastened every morning. I didn't even want to get up. Somebody said, cheer up. Life could be worse. And I did cheer up and it got worse. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Anything I go to say, I offend everybody. I'm an equal opportunity offender. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. But thank God for 17, verse 17. Until. You remember that 17? They put that in there. So, and that's a semicolon there. So when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. Now, what he was having problem was this, that he saw all these people that were ungodly, that weren't living for him, and they seemed like they were prospering, seemed like they were doing good, seemed like, you know, he wasn't. He was tormented. He had pressures. He was discouraged. He had distress. He couldn't say anything. It just seemed like he offended everybody. And yet, he was about to give it all up until he went to the house of the Lord, until he went to the sanctuary of God, and then he understood. You see, he understood because his word brings the perspective that you need. Guess what? You need more of this than you do CBS. You need more of this than you do ABC. You need more of this than you do all of your television and your YouTube and all of your Facebook. You need more of this word of God. You get full of the word and you'll be able to see things in a different perspective. Many times we're not full of the word. The devil comes up to us and we say, oh my God, he sure is big. He sure is mean. But get full of the word and all of a sudden something will rise up in you. Been a lot of times that people try to put me down, but the Holy Ghost rose up inside of me by the word of God. And when it rose up, they sat down. And I said, Satan, it is written. Satan, it is written. Satan, it is written. It all comes back to the perspective of the word of God. Amen. You don't waste your time when you come to church. You don't waste your time when you go to God's house. You're hearing God's word. Life's problems seem so big. Take them to God's house. And if you think you have it bad, take it to the Lord. Then look around a little bit and perspective will reveal to you that there's always someone worse than you. I was in a mall the other day. Not our mall, another mall. I have to get a drink of water. Just got 10 minutes. I get a little power for 10 minutes. Oh, boy, that's good. No drinking in the sanctuary, please. Unless you're working. Okay. We're in the mall, and coming to us was a lady. Absolutely burned from head to toe. Totally disfigured from head to toe. She had shorts on, and I'm sure every part of her body was burned. And I looked at her. We passed by. And I told Kalita, I said, babe, I thought we had problems. And you see that, you think, I don't really have that much of a problem. Really? Amen? Always somebody worse. And then, you know, not only that, but consider the alternative. Your problem, your situation, consider the alternative. Often, if you consider the alternative, it'll help you get a different perspective, such as one time I broke my leg. You know that story. I'm not going to tell again. I broke my leg. Got down about that. But thank God I had a leg to break. Hello? Well, some guys don't have legs. Come back from war. Come back, you know, from the theaters. I'm talking about overseas, not the movie theaters. Man, I wish I didn't have to pay so many taxes. Well, me too, but thank God you got a good job. Well, I'm going to have another birthday. Yeah, you know the rest of that one. You're having one. Thank God. Got car problems.
Man, I got car problems.
Well, you know what? Look on the bright side. You don't ride a camel. Hello. Well, I'm sick, preacher. Well, you're not dead. Well, I'm half dead. Well, that means you're half alive. Amen. See what I'm saying? That's optimism, pessimism. You got to consider and understand that the alternative, when you look at it, it just brings a different perspective. One time, a fellow had a very heavy, heavy pack of worries and cares and responsibilities of life on his back, and he's trudging along, and he's getting weak, and the road seemed rougher, and the pack seemed heavier, and finally, he just dropped down and said, "I'm ready to die." Suddenly, the death angel appeared and said, "Did you call me?" He rose up real quickly and said, "Yeah, I did. Can you help me get this pack back on my back here?" Amen. See, change in perspective. That's all I'm saying. Whatever you're looking for in life, that's what you'll see. I promise you, that's what you'll see. You got to look for the right thing. You got to look for God. If you're looking for a perfect marriage, you won't find it, all right? If you're looking for a perfect church, you won't find it. If you're looking for a perfect Christian, you won't find it. If you're looking for a perfect anything, you won't find it. You're going to be very disillusioned, okay? But I will tell you this. If you're looking for God, you'll find God, okay? And I promise this, you'll find a perfect God. You'll find a perfect Savior. You'll find a perfect Spirit. You'll find a perfect Heavenly Father, Son of God, and Holy Spirit, the Godhead. You will find that He is perfect, and He's the only thing that's perfect. It's what you're looking for. What are you looking for? The Spaniards came to this nation looking for gold, and they never found the gold. But the Pilgrims came looking for God, and I want you to know they found God. All things work together for the good to them that love God, to call according to His purpose. And so when you're in it, quit looking at the bad things and start saying it's all going to be all right. God's going to work it out. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to have to hurry. Life's made up of a lot of things. It's made up of all things, not just one thing. And sometimes we only see one thing, but God sees all things. Understand that. He wants us to see all things from His perspective. Let me show you something real quick, a little test. You see that A-S-T-R, what's that spell? Nothing. But you can put those words together. Give me some words here. Star. You can spell out of A-S-T-R. You can spell star out of that. Now, what's a star? It suggests of the glories of heaven. It's inspired songs. It's inspired poems. It's inspired sermons. The stars. What's another word we can make out of it? Rats. Ooh. Worst word in the world. Suggests loathsomeness and filth and low down, no good, beady eyed, long tailed devils. Amen. Let's go to the next one, please. Arts. You can spell arts out of this. That brings vision. It makes great paintings. It hangs in majestic museums, sculptures, and classic literature, and all the arts. And thank God for the arts. Give me one more. Tars, suggestive, work, labor, toil on the sea, highways, laboratories. I'm talking about tar, okay? You know, what's on the road. It didn't take a rocket scientist, but. You can spell all of these words, okay? Now give me one more illustration here. They contain all the same elements. Every one of them contains. Give me another one. Contains the same elements. And you know what? You can find them all in these letters right here. There's 24 of them. Just want to see if you knew. That really was a test. There's 26 letters. You can spell anything you want with those letters. The alphabet has no more, no less than 26 letters. You string them all together like that, you know what they mean? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Absolutely. At its best, you can make a song. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, N, T, U, V, W, X, N, Y, and Z. Now I said my ABC, tell me what you think of me. Amen. That's all you can do with it. I try to figure out some of that's it. But if you put them together correctly, they make a lot of sense. As a matter of fact, human learning and understanding is built on all of these 26 letters. All great ideas are formed out of these 26 letters. Every book that's ever been written in English has been formed out of these 26 letters. And I can tell you, only 26. And only 26 letters convey the mind of God to the mind of man. You understand, there's only 26 letters in this book. You can't find any more than 26 letters. That's it. There's only 26. There's not 27. You give 26 letters to John Milton and he'll write Paradise Lost. You give 26 letters to John Bunyan and he'll write Pilgrim's Progress. You give 26 letters to God, he'll write the Bible. Yet on the other hand, you give 26 letters to Darwin, Charles Darwin, he'll write The Evolution or The Origin of the Species. Give it to Crowley, he'll write the Satanic Bible. So it's a matter how you put the words together. Understand that. You see, it's a matter how you put things together. See what I'm saying? It matters how you put things together. And all things work together to them that love God, the called according to his purpose. It's the same circumstance. It's the same troubles. It's the same tragedies. But you got to put it in the right order. And you need to see it in God's perspective. Come back to the instruments. Yeah. So what are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? I'm going to believe that's about the best thing God ever invented. Praise God. But speaking of that, let me ask you this. How many like to have a drink? Not this one. I don't drink after people. A backwash too, on purpose. Somebody drink my drink. But let me ask you truly. If I would offer you this half, is it half full or half empty? Either half full or half empty. If I were to offer you this to you and say, would you rather have this? And then I broke out a box. I couldn't use this for an illustration, but I broke out a box of diamonds with millions of dollars. Let's just say the Hope Diamond. So let's just say, like, this is the Hope Diamond. I give you this. I give you the Hope Diamond. Best thing I got. Only thing. Hope Diamond. The count of three, I'm going to give you a chance to come up and get either half a bottle of water or the Hope Diamond. Now, who would be stupid enough to run up here and grab that water? First of all, it's my water and it'll hit you. No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't hit you. If you wanted that bad, I'd let you have. But anyhow, let's go get me a fresh one. This isn't getting cold. I mean, getting warm. That's the Hope Diamond. Well, anybody in the right mind, if I was sitting there, no questions asked, I'm getting the Hope Diamond. How many would raise your hand and say, that's what I would take? Now, this is not a trick. Y'all think I'm pulling a trick on you here. How many would take the Hope Diamond over a half a bottle of water up here in this church? Okay. The rest of you are a bunch of liars, but anyhow. You just think I'm doing this. But I am doing it because I want to show you something. That's in the church here. Because you know what? You take the Hope Diamond, go get you plenty of water. That Hope Diamond's priceless. It's worth more than you could ever imagine. I don't know how much it's worth, but I know it's worth a lot. But what if you were in the desert? What if you hadn't had a drink in 3 days and you stumbled up on the Hope Diamond and a half a bottle of water and you could only take one? Well, anybody in the right mind take the water. See, it's all a matter of perspective. All a matter of perspective. And I don't know about you, the whole world's trying to gain the world, but they're going to lose their soul. But you that know the Lord Jesus Christ, that love God, called according to his purpose, guess what? You've changed your minds, and you decided, I want this whole world, because I want the world that's coming. I want that new world. I want that kingdom that Jesus is going to set up, and I'm going to help him rule and reign 1,000 years, and then we're going to rule and reign for all eternity. That's what I want. I'll take it any day. I'm like Moses. I'd rather suffer the affliction of God's people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, because that's the problem. It's only for a season. It's only for a little moment. What is your life? It's like a vapor. It's here for a moment, and then it vanisheth away. It's only a season. Sin is for a season. You can only sin so long. You can only play so long. You can only dance so long. But if you give your life to Jesus Christ and trade all of that, you get this living water. Amen. And you drink really living water that you'll never thirst again. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And one day he's going to change everything. And one day everything this world wants, you're going to have, because you have the right perspective. Look at your discouragement today as I close. For some it brings surrender, for some it brings challenge. And a person who is not defeated by defeat has won the victory. Look at the defeat. For one, it's the end. For the other, it's the beginning. Discouragement and defeat, we deal with it every day. But it's how you look at it. See, discouragement and defeat are beneficial because they teach us lessons, strength, or fibers, and give us the true perspective. All I'm saying is take hold of them. Use them, and don't let your problems, your situations, the things in your life, don't let them control you, but you let God control you. And if you do that, know that all things are going to work together for the good. Yeah, they are. I don't care how bad it looks today, they will. They will, I promise. Not a doubt in my mind, he's going to change everything. And I may shock you, but I want you to know my hope is not in Donald Trump. My hope is not in the United States Congress. My hope is not in the Senate. My hope is not in this world. My hope is in that world to come. Because that's when that old song said, we'll understand it better by and by. Some of y'all carrying some stuff for a long, long time. Maybe the death of a child. Maybe the death of a spouse. And I suppose the death of a child would be worse. No questions asked, I guess, I would think. Maybe you're just somewhere in the past that's really devastated you something. And you've kind of questioned it for a long time. It doesn't make any sense. I'm just trying to tell you it will make sense if you love God, call according to his purpose. It'll work out for the good. Don't know how. Can't tell you how, but I tell you it will, because I believe this book. Praise God. Father, I pray in Jesus' name.